Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. This is a 10-minute waiver show, right? Just doing all our waiver primer for 10 minutes here. I have released and recorded running backs, wide receivers, and tight end snap reactions for week four. And I will post later today. I'm recording it after I record the show, the quarterback edition. So I wanted to have this out in case you're doing some evening work on a Tuesday here. So some big news. I think Teddy Bridgewater along with Bailey Zappi. I think Bridgewater, and I've had a couple of spots where I've sort of cycled him on and off for rosters. I've been just trying to optimize a couple of roster spots, and so he's been sort of circulating back and forth in a couple of different leagues. Him and some other guys have just sort of been trying to, you know, it was Chase Daniel when it looked like it was going to be Herbert was out 1 week. You know, it's just sort of cycled around a little bit. So Bridgewater is sort of in that land. I think he's going to be the starter this week. Listen, we know what he is. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think in an offense that frankly is pretty well designed and has some good playmakers, he can do what Jimmy Garoppolo has done. He can do what Tua has done. Frankly, I don't think they're outside, you know, that far different in terms of their ranges of outcomes. So I think he's one. And listen, Miami's in an atmosphere right now where there's a lot of danger, I think, and bringing Tua back too soon. So I do think that there's some tail event to this where this could be a month-long absence or something like that for Tua, in the reaction to this whole head injury stuff. So especially if he actually did suffer two different concussions, which it appears that is trending sort of in that line of thought. Bailey Zappi is the other one. Not super excited about Bailey Zappi, fourth rounder from this past draft. I was thrust into action after Hoyer suffered a concussion in week four. Hoyer could be back. Mac Jones could be back. Zappi could be like a spot start guy. Not super convinced I'd use him. Maybe a couple percentage points or something like that. But otherwise, I'm not super interested in him. Like in safe leagues, I'm probably not making a claim on him. Another couple of veterans here that I'm interested in. Tyrod Taylor played in place of an injured Daniel Jones before himself suffering a concussion exiting the game. Taylor's concussion status along with Jones' injuries. Right, there's moving parts there that I have to keep in mind there. If Jones is projected, it looks like it was like some sort of ankle deal. If he's projected to miss some extended time, I think Taylor could be worth up to a quarter of your budget in that way. I think Bridgewater could be as well. I don't think I put a number on Bridgewater before, but that would be sort of a thought there. Dalton was a spot start this week. Jameis Winston struggled by different metrics to start the season. Dennis Allen gave him a vote of confidence after week three, but then Winston missed week four with a back injury. So Winston's status for week five is unknown at this point. So Dalton should be added 5 to 10%, I think, was sort of where I'm in line with. I don't think he's going to win the job. I don't think it's necessarily as good of a job as it is in Miami. So that's kind of the difference there of why I would treat them a little bit differently. But listen, if you need a guy, and I think that Jameis is going to be back this week is sort of my assumption. So those are sort of my thoughts there. All right, next up here in terms of the running backs, I don't have a good sense of what the result is going to be in the Denver competition. I feel like Melvin Gordon's going to get a crack. That's just sort of my assumption that he's going to get a crack at this. And then we'll sort of see where it goes. This is a short week, so Latavius Murray played Sunday for the Saints and is going to try and play Thursday for the Broncos. So let's keep our expectations a little bit muted. I think Mike Boone's interesting, too. They're both 90-plus available in MFL. I think Gordon's probably going to be your lead touch-getter would be my assumption this week. But we'll sort of see how that goes. I'm interested in Boone and Murray. I don't know, 5 to 10% feels right for those guys sort of in the Craig Reynolds plus type range. I don't really have a great sense of it. Like even Craig Reynolds feels like he's closer just because you have a little bit more certainty. One of these guys is going to be the right answer, I think. It's probably going to be Melvin Gordon, right? But there's a chance that Murray or Boone is the right answer. there's just a lesser of a chance than there was with a guy like Craig Reynolds, where at least you kind of knew, hey, if Jamal Williams gets hurt in the absence of Swift, you kind of know what the direction is. So that would sort of be the thought there. Deion Jackson, again, short week. As of reading this, Jonathan Taylor was a DNP on Tuesday. So chance here that Deion Jackson could be the injury way guy to a Nyheim Hines situation. Again, it's going to be like a 2 week. He'll be off. You know, to get basically two full weeks to recover to play in week six. So not sure I'm super investing much more than like a percent or two, but if you're just trying to clean a roster spot and optimize, that's a good spot. Caleb Huntley is 100% available in leagues. So he's another one, again, 1-2%. He looks like he's going to be kind of the backup to the backup. He'll be the backup to Tyler Allgeier. I feel a little bit less confident in this situation just because there's a committee that might occur if there was an injury to a guy like Tyler Allgeier. So that would sort of be my thought there, but I'm a little bit less confident. Other guys I'm interested in that have more than 50% availability in terms of waiver ads. So again, this isn't necessarily just dynasty leagues. This is on MFL generally. So just sort of keep in mind, probably less available than this in our leagues. Jaylen Warren, 54% available. Reynolds, 74%. Justice Hill, 68%. Moss, 52. Michelle, 56. Deonta Foreman, 55. Pirine, 52. Burita, 74. Mason, 70. 91 for Tony Jones Jr. And Tristan Ebner at 85%. I just sort of give you those numbers just as a relative scale more than necessarily the actual number. A handful of wide receivers, actually. I'm trying to get more wide receiver waiver coverage. I realize that is sort of a hole in my game, so I'm trying to sort of work on that. I think it's a leak of mine, and I'm trying to get better at it. So you're going to get it here. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the wide receiver 2 in Cleveland, opposite of Amari Cooper, 55% available. Again, use that as a relative scale. But I think, like, if you look at the scenario, she's got some variance weeks up and down. But you do get a spot where Deshaun Watson going to be back week 13. And they don't have a ton of ways to fill a wide receiver hole in this offense. They don't have picks that would do that. Like, they're going to be kind of up against it money-wise here going forward. Donovan Peoples-Jones could find himself in a really good position. So that's an interesting spot there. Josh Reynolds basically playing 100% of snaps in a really good offense. Detroit leads the league in points scored with 140 and yards per play at 6.5. They had a 45-point, 375-yard passing performance in week 4. Reynolds caught 7 balls, 81 yards, and a touchdown. He's nearly an every down player, even when Amon-Ra St. Brown and DJ Shark are on the field. So definitely one that if you have a spot start need, something like that, he's a guy that you can add. And even if those guys come back, like, you can feel okay throwing him out there in the sense of trying to get some snaps. Marquez Callaway is the guy behind Michael Thomas. He's basically led them in routes with 29 and 58 snaps. Was targeted 6 times in Michael Thomas's absence. So if that's going to be extended absence, that's a spot there. DeMarcus Robinson, after Rashad Bateman left with a foot injury in week 4, Robinson stepped into the role, caught 2 passes for 10 yards on 3 targets. Bateman appears to have avoided a major injury, but if he misses time, DeMarcus Robinson's the next man up there. A guy to keep in mind without a real clear wide receiver 2 pecking order outside of Mark Andrews, where Bateman is out. Deami Brown's the last one. He's a little bit like Josh Reynolds light. Jahan Dotson suffered a hamstring injury, expected to keep him out multiple weeks. Washington's offense really starts 3 wide receivers, essentially. They play almost universally three wide receiver type usage. So there's a lot of routes for Deami Brown to run. So if you're in need, he's a name to sort of keep in mind. In some of your deeper leagues, like, there might not be much better options. So he's a name to keep in mind if you're sort of looking to recycle a spot. Brown was targeted on 4 of his 18 routes, caught 1 ball for 6 yards. But, like, that's... hey, if we could extrapolate that out, that would actually be pretty decent usage if we could get, you know, double that route usage, triple that route usage. Like, those things could really add up quick. That's actually a pretty good number for him. So those would be the things I'd say. All right, 45 seconds left. OJ Howard actually beat out incumbents Farrell Brown, Brevin Jordan. Farrell Brown got cut. Jordan Akins who was brought in as a free agent and played ahead of O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard finally leaped over them. 42 of 57 snaps. Ran routes on 26 of Houston's 39 dropbacks. He only had 2 catches for 27 yards, but he had 5 targets and should have be able to establish himself coming forward. Cade Otton, in the event that Cameron Braid is injured, deserves maybe a back-of-the-roster stash in premium leagues. Otherwise, probably not. He's more of a blocking type. Eric Sauber, 100% available, starter in Denver. Albert O, 1 snap. That's your 10 minutes. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again soon.